The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
If you'd like to get in touch, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Now, the Masters gets underway at Augusta on Thursday. Rory McIlroy, of course, will be defending his title. But who will be the big challenger for the green jacket? Well, I'm delighted to be joined by three-time major champion Pádraig Harrington. Hello, Pádraig.
How are we doing, Claire?
Lovely to have you with us. Now, it'll be a tough ask, won't it, for Rory to successfully defend his title? It hasn't been done that often in the past. Do you think he has the hunger for the battle?
I think he does have the hunger for the battle. I think after he won last year, there was 3 or 4 months where it seemed to, you know, you could question that, whether he had the hunger. I think the whole enormity of winning and what it meant to him, kind of he drifted away a bit up and down into the performance. But for sure, he seems to be back. He seems to be keen. He seems to be interested. But saying that, it's very rare for somebody to defend the Masters. It's mm-hmm. more likely it's they have this thing that they win the second year after they win the Masters. So, you know, would I be saying he's outright favourite? No, I don't think that's the big problem this year with the Masters. There just isn't anybody necessarily that's jumping out like other years that is the favourite. You know, Scottie Scheffler's not playing as well. Rory has the capabilities, obviously, to win, and he has played good coming into this, but does not dominate it. There's two lads from Liv, John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau, who both seem to be playing very well, but it's not as clear how well they're playing. So, yeah, it's a difficult one, this Masters, to pick somebody necessarily who's going to jump out. But, you know, from the Irish perspective, I really would be. I think we'll get a great run out of Rory, and I think we'll get a great run out of Shane.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about your high hopes for Shane Lowry. Why this year do you see that it could be his turn to shine?
Well, going into it, he's a straight hitter, which you need to be at Augusta, and he's a great iron player. Like, his real strong point is his iron play, which are the two most important things at Augusta. It's not a week that you live by your chipping or your putting or anything like that. It's kind of conservative week on the greens. You got to hit your irons great, and Shane does that. And plus, it's going to be firm this year, which brings more into play being a good straight hitter. So everything plays into the hands of Shane, but it's very difficult to go and win any tournament, let alone a major.
I know.
But definitely, I think he'll get a good run out of him.
But he has, and you've said this as well, he has the real hunger for a win, doesn't he? Because he's had some awful near misses in the last couple of months.
Yes, he's had a few near misses. Awful, I don't think he could. Yeah, look, there's one or two that would have hurt, but there's nothing awful in the greater scheme of it. I think with Shane, he really likes the big time. He really likes being, like, he believes he can win these tournaments at the top. So, you know, he definitely, if he gets himself in the position, he'll be comfortable in the position. He'll believe he can. Not comfortable. It's obviously a difficult position to be in, but he'll believe he can do it. So he is somebody that you know, coming down that stretch, will definitely has a chance of holding on to what he has. And of course, there's a really, really difficult finish, because they're very intimidating holes that you often have to still make some birdies. It's not like other tournaments where you're trying to get to the clubhouse with a few pars. Mm-hmm. At Augusta, there's a couple of par fives. There's a lot of risk reward, and you've got to make birdies, but there's so much danger there as well. So it's a very uncomfortable last 9 holes. But I do believe, when you look at all his wins, he's great in that position. So I wouldn't be looking at the last couple of weeks. And to be honest, most times golfers win, they have a few losses before they win. So he's in a good place.
I read something last night about you need to play Augusta 40 times under a bit of pressure for it to all come together for you. And for Shane, it's his 34th time out there. Is there anything in that, and having to do it all of those times in order to get to the point where you can come out on top?
There is something in it. It doesn't mean you can't do it other ways, but there's definitely a familiarity. We go to the same course every year, and it's a very busy week. There's just a lot of stress around the week. Obviously, the more you play the golf course, the more you're there, it becomes normalized. So Shane won't have as much razzmatazz going on around him. You know, your first time there, you're just starstruck. Whereas Shane now, he's so used to it, he knows the different shots, he knows the different greens, he knows where the mistakes he's made in the past. That can be a hindrance at times, having some baggage like that. But, you know, clearly he's as experienced as you want to be, And he probably, as you said, from the stats, he is in the sweet spot of where he should be. And he's also in that age group, both himself and Rory, where they're really at that mature level of their game. So I think, yeah, they're in that point that their best performances could be coming.
And when you mentioned starstruck, so Tom McKibben, who's in from Belfast, he's new to the Masters. Would you expect him to be finding his feet then this week?
I played with Tom earlier this year and his game was in great shape at that time. It really has improved. Hasn't played as well so far this year on LIV in the last couple of months. So I will put him in that category. He's a great ball striker. Which will suit the golf course, but just because he doesn't know it well enough that it will catch up with him at some stage during the week, I think. But the one great thing about the Masters, it's a short field and they pay in terms of betting, they pay, I think, 8 places. So all these guys are good each way bet. It's probably one of the most generous betting tournaments of the year.
You mentioned Scottie Scheffler there, who is considered by some to still be the one to beat, despite being off his best of late. Would you agree? He's won 2 of the last 3 majors, 2 of the last 4 Masters, but not at his peak.
As you said, he's dominated coming in the last couple of years, but this year he hasn't been as dominant. The golf course still suits him. He still loves it there. It's exactly what he needs. You couldn't ignore him, but there's a lot of other stories as well this year, which could, oftentimes going into a major when there's stories about other people, it takes some of the pressure off. So who knows, he could be in a better place because of it, but I don't think it affected him in the past, so maybe he doesn't need that.
And what's your take on John Rahm?
It's hard to tell, but he looks like he just lost the last live event in a tight one. So I'd say he's confident going in there, but it's just a harder one to judge when we're never really sure with the live guys. They don't play as many tournaments. It's just an odd one. Like DeChambeau is the one. He is playing, seems to be playing well, loves the golf course. He is the biggest threat of that unknown quantity, let's say.
Mm-hmm. He was in the final group, wasn't he, with Rory last year at the Masters?
He royally, and I think Rory alluded to it, so it's not me, he really did mess up in that final group. He made some incredible tactical errors.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot to prove at Augusta. He's done it 2 ways now. He's tried to say he can overpower it, and against Rory he was trying to be a tactician or something like that, something else that he's not. So there's a good chance he's got that out of his system now and will just play the way Bryson DeChambeau plays. And he is he's a really good player, always was a good player before he made some changes, and he's definitely one of the best players. And I would think that, to me, I don't know the exact betting odds, but himself and Rory, Scheffler and Rahm would be my order.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll see how it plays out. I wanted to ask you about Tiger Woods. You probably don't remember this, but in 2009, you and I had a conversation on air about Tiger Woods when the first scandal broke, when everything happened back then. And I remember you telling me that you didn't know anything about his life off the course, that you thought he was heading off early in the evenings to get his rest in because he was so quiet and took everything so seriously in his professional life. But here we are again, all these years later. Do you have sympathy for him?
I've sympathy personally for Tiger Woods, no doubt about it. But I don't know, clearly they're still up in the air, but I wouldn't have sympathy for a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no excuse for that.
No, and you know what? When it happened, we had so many texts in from people, and I was asking the same question myself. Someone like Tiger Woods, why is he driving his own car? Doesn't make sense to me.
No, as I said, obviously there's still an ongoing court case with that, and there will be, and yeah. I don't know if it's as clear cut as we'd like to make out. He seems to have issues with the operations and the painkillers and things like that. So you'd have to have an awful lot of sympathy. Nothing in this life comes without a price. As good as he's been, the stardom, the money, whatever you want to look at, there's always pressures and stresses behind the scenes. So yes, you have tremendous sympathy for any individual going through something like that. And you would hope that you know, he can come through it. And he's in, you know, the great thing is nobody was hurt. And even himself, you know, he can come back from this. You know, plenty of people have. But, you know, as you mentioned, why wouldn't you have a driver? If, you know, as I said, we're great over here compared to the States. You know, we take DUIs much more seriously in Ireland. And, you know, I think there is no excuse for it. Mm-hmm. We're not making excuses just because you could afford to have a driver and all that. Still, there's no excuse, even if you can't afford it. Yeah. There's no excuse for a DUI.
No, there isn't. And look, you know, there was talk of him coming to play in the Masters, wasn't there? Just before this all happened, people were wondering whether he'd make it or not. It's hard to see him coming back from this, though, to golf at that level.
That doesn't matter, does it really? You know, I remember Seve at the end of his career, you know, his golf had kind of gone out, and clearly, as it turned out, he had a brain tumor. And I used to always look at him and say, you know, why don't you just come and wave at the crowds rather than fighting your golf game on the golf course?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same with Tiger. If he comes back and plays, you know, great. But really, the world of golf and probably himself, he doesn't need to do it. He can come back and just wave at the crowds, and that would be good enough. People, you know, would enjoy that end of Tiger Woods. So look, there's plenty for him to come back to. He's made some mistakes like this, but he hasn't made a mistake that he can't come back from. There was nobody injured. There's nobody, you know.
I know, but it's such a psychological adjustment, though, for Tiger Woods to come back and wave at the crowds as opposed to competing. You know, does he have that in him? Would he be able to make that adjustment? Well, he would have to, I suppose, if he gets to that point.
I don't know. As I said, with Seve at the tail end of his career, that's exactly, you know, he was a hero to me growing up, and so you wanted him to be there, and the crowds loved him. So look, everything changes. It's not like you can't hold on to what you had in the past. It's not like he's not going to be the Tiger Woods of old. He's not, you know, he can't be that individual. Even if he comes back and plays great, it's just a different times move on and everything goes. So he doesn't need to, he doesn't have to do that. It you know, let's hope if there is an issue. I think he's gone away for some sort of treatment. Well, let's hope he gets well and he enjoys the rest of his life. And you know, he clearly does suffer with a lot of pain, and he has a lot of operations and things like that. So, you know, let's hope he gets all that clear and you know, come back and enjoy the rest of his life and his golfing life and his business life and all that comes with it. Thankfully, the mistakes he made really haven't done, you know, haven't caused any harm. So, you know, that's a one huge upside to it.
Pádraig, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us. That's Pádraig Harrington. We'll be back after this quick.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.